table is where life happens. It's where imagination runs wild. Where lessons are learned. And wonders are built. The table is where time can stop. Where wounds are comforted. And freedom begins. It's where we find peace. And we laugh till it hurts. The table is where we gather with family, new and old, to share stories, to nourish our bodies, to enrich our souls. The table is where we give thanks and where we remember what great gifts we have been given.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." For the past 2 weeks and concluding this third week, we have been zeroing in on communion. The Eucharist has been a part of the Lord's church since its inception on the day of Pentecost. It is a practice that the Lord Jesus started and told his followers to continue, and here we are. The followers of Jesus, continuing in a practice that he told us to do in remembrance of him. Right now as we speak, this is being celebrated and observed literally all over this globe. And we are privileged to be a part of such an event. We have determined from scripture and testimony of the practice over centuries. And when I tell you that there are a wealth of testimony just written down and preserved for us to go back and to see what the early church did and how they came together for this central event of breaking bread, the Eucharist. We've seen from scripture, and we've seen from the testimony of folks like Justin Martyr that this is a time to celebrate God, to celebrate our God who is so big and so wide and so huge and so important to who we are. We love God. He's such, he's just so ingrained into who we are. And this is an opportunity for us to dig in deeper, to show our appreciation for God, to connect with God, to connect with one another. We also talked about the Eucharist, its connection to contribution and offering and That in the early church, the offering and the communion wasn't separate and apart. It was something that was woven together. See, we come together to celebrate what God has given us, and out of that experience, we give to others. And that might be in the form of money or things and goods, but it's also measured in presence and in time. And I just marvel, again, I just overjoyed at the way this church is just so generous with not only its money and things, but also it's just time and presence. This morning, as we close this 3-week journey, we close to reflect. We close with the intention of not going back to observing this time as some rote practice void of meaning and impact. We close with an intention to go forward and sharing in this time with a renewed sense of understanding and a renewed sense of purpose. In his book, Come to the Table, Lipscomb professor John Mark Hicks suggests that we revision the Lord's Supper. I would recommend that book to any of you. It's a book called Come to the Table. If you want to borrow my copy, you're more than happy to come make that request. He offers, I think, a deep theological just reflective work on the power of the table and the Lord's Supper. And he makes several suggestions even as he goes back and looks at the historical practice of the Lord's Supper. And among them, he makes a sort of suggestion that we not just reserve the Lord's Supper for times like this, but that even in the course of a meal, say we're having a potluck meal, that we take time during that larger meal and observe Eucharist and break bread. He offers a list of renewals and in his book, among them. He says that the Lord's Supper needs to be a time of reflection. A reflection, one, of our spiritual communion with the triune God. As much as this is a coming together of brothers and sisters of different ages and different shades of color, different cultures, different backgrounds, different lengths of times of being in the body of Christ, it's a time for us to come together, but it's also for us a time to come together with the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, church, are here. We are communing with the triune God in all of its mystery and all of its glory and all of its power. Jesus, Son, God, Father, Holy Spirit, all here in this place. This is a moment for us to be reminded that the triune God is in this place. He also say this ought to be a reflection of a time where we understand that we have received the grace of God. As we break the bread and eat, and as we're eating and enjoying the taste of the cup, we understand that it was that body and blood that was shed that has now been presented to us, the grace of God. He says, a time for us to reflect on hope and joy, no matter what the world looks like, no matter what the world presents to us, no matter how doom and gloom or fearful people might want to project upon us to live. We live with hope and joy because we know that when Jesus first instituted this, he says, I'm not going to eat this with you until I come again. He's coming back. This is a time for us to reflect that we are people of hope and joy. We'll talk more about that over the next several weeks as we pursue the Advent season. Another area he says we need to reflect is that while we eat bread and drink juice, we reflect on the united body of Christ. I don't think it's a secret. If you've heard me preach for any length of time, you know that this is a deep passion of mine, that the body of Christ all over the world become one, that we take our rightful place as a harmonious one body of Christ. And while that's a worldwide, you know, maybe utopian sort of idea, maybe we can begin to pursue that global unity every time we come and we eat the bread and drink the juice. We think about unity right here inside of these four walls. This is a time for us to reflect on being one. Those are just some of the ideas and reflections that John Mark Hicks offers. I would add to those that we would reflect on all the things that we have to be thankful for. Again, this is the Eucharist, the Greek word for giving thanks. This is a time of thanksgiving, is gratitude. This meal is rooted in thanksgiving. Gratitude has to be wired into us and deeply embedded into our experience of the table. Taking our cue from Psalms, like the psalmist in Psalm 9 who says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my whole heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Thanks, gratitude. It ought to be just wired into who we are. There's spiritual benefits to just being thankful. There's also physical benefits to just being thankful. The research has been done. Those who are more thankful are healthier, mentally healthier, spiritually healthier, physically healthier. So I think this is a time for us to reflect on all the things to be thankful for. I also think this is a time for us to reflect on how incredible it would be if there were more people at the table. I don't know about you, but when I eat a meal, you know, like we did at Thanksgiving in Buffalo, New York with my fam, and man, there was so much food. I often reflect on or just think about, man, I wish there were more people here to celebrate. I wish there were more family members that could have come over and enjoyed this. I wish that there were some folks who may not have the blessings that we have or have the family that we have. I wish they could come and enjoy this time of celebration. You know, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, it's not a time for us to think about how exclusive we are or how special we are. And man, I'm glad other people can. No, this is a time for us to say, man, I wish there were more people at this table. And that ought to prompt us to go out and invite people to come to the table, which leads me to the third reflection that I would say we need to reflect on. I'm talking about every time we come together to eat this meal. I think we ought to reflect on the incredible invitation that God has given us to partner with him in mission. Remember at the Last Supper, at Jesus' Last Supper, his last Passover, where he instituted the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, Jesus broke bread with his apostles. The word apostle means missionary. Jesus was breaking bread with men who would be missionaries. He spoke to them of his love for them and commanded them to love in the same way. The Eucharist would be a powerful reminder that they were connected to Jesus and his mission of love. Church, our participation in this meal is a time to reflect on the incredible work yet to be done in the name of Jesus for the kingdom of God. Paul says, adding after he reflects on the Lord's Supper and his and what the Lord had given to him in terms of what they should do, at the end of that, Paul writes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time we eat the bread and, and drink the cup. That's a reminder that this is about going forth and making proclamation and sharing the gospel, the great good news of Jesus Christ, partners with God in mission. Something I've been thinking about a lot lately. I think it was on Thanksgiving Day or the day before, I was reading a story about a young 12-year-old girl, or maybe she's 14 now. 2 years ago in Milwaukee, she won an award for an essay she wrote about gun violence. And she wrote about Martin Luther King's dream for a better society. And she said, just wouldn't this be a better society if we would just stop the violence? And she just pled. I mean, it was so wonderfully written too, as a sixth grader, just very compelling and persuasive piece, encouraging those who incite violence or participate in violence or decide to enter into conflict and try to resolve that conflict with violence. She says, can't we just stop the violence? Just a few days ago, this young girl, 2 years later, young lady who wrote that piece, is in her bedroom watching television, and a stray bullet comes through her window and kills her church. Killed her. I mean, it's horrific. If that doesn't upset you, if that doesn't anger you, if that doesn't, if we're at a place now in our society where we're just like, well, yeah another one, that just, something has really happened to our world. It gets me to start thinking, I wish we had more people at this table. I wish we had people who thought that violence was the only way to solve problems. I wish they were at this table. I don't know what will solve the violence problem in our world. I don't know if it's less guns, more police, less police. I don't know. I don't know about those solutions. I do kind of think if we can get more people at this table, that may reduce the number of people who have an appetite for violence. That perhaps there will be more and more people who will have an appetite for love and for peace at the table. So as you eat the bread today, as you drink the cup today, I pray that you reflect on our unity, reflect on the grace of God, reflect on the fact that you are communing with the triune God, that you reflect on all there is to be thankful for, that you reflect on wanting more people to be at this step, that you will reflect that God has chosen you to be a partner with him in mission to bring others to this table. I pray that next year at this time, the end of November next year, this room is double the number. Because as we've been eating this bread and drinking the cup every week leading up to next year at this time, the end of November next year, every time we eat it, we're thinking about who can I invite to this table? Who can I invite to this table? And we get them to gather at this table. And as they gather at this table, we remind them this is a time for us to reflect on God and to reflect on our unity and to reflect on what we're thankful for and to reflect on being in mission with God. And this is a time where we're thinking, who can I invite to this table? And those who you invite to the table will invite someone else to the table. Then those that they invite to the table will invite others to the table. May we, the body of Christ, every time we break the bread and drink the cup, may we be reminded that this meal is rooted in thanksgiving. This is Eucharist. May we never forget the great sacrifice that was made so that we can experience Eucharist. May we be reminded that the triune God that made all of this possible is here with us. May we be reminded that the Eucharist is not a time for me to get in my bubble and to think about me, but it's a time for me to open my arms and to think about we. We are the body of Christ. Christ's body was broken so that we would not have to be broken. So with that in mind, let's experience the Eucharist. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, was celebrating his final Passover. And while they were gathered and eating, he took a piece of bread. And when he broke it, he had given thanks. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you." Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for his broken body that was broken for us, broken so that we would not have to be broken. Father, as we eat, we acknowledge your presence here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, we acknowledge that you have been tremendously gracious to us. Father, we reflect that we are a people of hope and of joy and of peace and of love. God, we give thanks to you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you are going to do. And we offer these thanks in the blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And after dinner, Jesus took a cup. And after he had blessed it, he gave thanks. He said, "Take this cup, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood that has been shed for the forgiveness of sins. I won't drink of this cup again. until I drink of it again anew in my kingdom. Church, the Lord is here, and he is drinking this with us in this new kingdom. Let's pray. God, for Jesus and the establishment of a new world order, that the kingdom of God, of which you bid all would come to partake of the blessing and benefit of this new kingdom. So God, as we drink this cup, we are reflecting as ones who have partaken of this blessed cup. And we also drink it. We drink it with a newfound energy and excitement to go and to share with others the invitation that you have given for them to come to the table. God, thank you for blessing us and covering us and giving us life through the blood of Jesus. God, right now, there are millions of folks who have not said yes to your grace, have not said yes to your love. God, as we drink, we pray that you would put on our hearts and minds right now the name of that man, the name of that woman, the name of that child that needs you. And Father, I pray that you would use us as your missional partners to share with them the invitation to your table. Amen.
As we sing this next song, this will serve as our song of invitation, encouragement. If any of you are in need of prayer, in need of assistance, in need of ministry, we want to invite you to come forward and share that. If this is a time that you want to give your life to the Lord, this is your moment to say yes to Jesus, your moment to confess him, to make a commitment to turn your life and walk in his direction, to participate in the blessing of baptism. If there is anything that we can do to serve you, to bring you closer into a relationship and connection with God through Jesus Christ, come as we stand and sing this song.